meeting to order. We don't have a very heavy agenda, but I'd like to add 17-4, a personnel matter. 17-5, sale of municipal property. 17-5, sale of municipal property. Are there any other items that should be added to or deleted from the agenda? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended. Councilor Frelick moving. We had three people seconding. Councilor Fisk seconding. All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is number 3, a service award. I'd like to ask Stephanie Nicholson to come forward, please. You've got to come way up front, yes, exactly. This is a real honor and a pleasure. Stephanie has worked for the Region of Queens for 30 years.
Wow.
Such a young person.
So she's older than the Region of Queens. Stephanie's been a friend since I came out here 20 years ago, and Stephanie and I became friends at that time, and it's been a real honor to have worked with her all of these years. She has been a tower of strength in the finance department, and in those early days, actually, one of the things we did was to blend the two pension plans, one from the town of Liverpool, one from the Region of Queens, and from Queens County. And in the new pension plan, we put in a clause that after 30 years service, you could retire. So this is a double farewell to Stephanie. She's benefiting under that 30-year clause. That clause is no longer in there. But it's there, and good news that it is, Stephanie, right?
That's right.
And so Stephanie's retiring at the end of this week, too. So it's congratulations and farewell and thank you. Thanks a lot.
Just 1 second here.
It's supposed to not.
There we go.
Ever a rose and a thorn.
Well, a big one way to talk about somebody when they're retired.
They're the rose stuff.
Oh.
There we go. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, congratulations.
Thank you.
We'll see you around soon.
Just a minute, sorry. Stephanie, just a moment. Leon.
I'd just like to say, Mr. Mayor, I remember the day, Stephanie, that we hired you here back 30 years ago. And so that is dating myself a little bit, and I've been around, I guess, here a little longer than you had. You went back 20 years, I go back a bit longer than that. But anyway, congratulations, Stephanie, and have a good retirement.
Thank you. I wonder if I'll ever see you again.
She never retires from the dairy
Bestie
tree.
Don't ever retire.
No, she'll be there forever.
They will be upset.
Then there will be no hugs.
Last week was in this
club. I'll be working on this.
Bestie food challenge.
No hugs then.
Do you have an ass?
They do.
I love the challenge.
Just don't worry.
Yeah, I had it yesterday.
You're really good.
It's an incredible job.
Yeah. Okay, that brings us to item 4 on the agenda. Are there any petitions? Yes.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Clark. David Dagley, 9 Metapon Lane, Liverpool.
subsequent to the update on the Markland Avenue sidewalk on the July 12th council meeting, residents of Markland Avenue have asked that I present council with a petition for a sidewalk on Markland Avenue. A petition to the region of Queens Municipality. We, the residents adjacent to Markland Avenue, Queens County, Nova Scotia, are aware that the region of Queens does not presently intend to replace the sidewalk along Markland Avenue. It is a safety concern, as youth will need to walk in the roadway to get to and from the bus stop, and seniors will also need to do the same to access the mailbox area. In winter, this will become an even greater safety concern. We hereby petition the region of Queens Council to ensure that a sidewalk is constructed along Markland Avenue prior to completion of the current water and sewer upgrade project. The petition was circulated during July and August 2016 and contains resident signatures other than several who were away and one who declined to sign.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question? Comment? Wasn't it made specifically clear that we are not building a sidewalk because provincial government says we're not allowed because of the width of the roadway? Wasn't that the reason?
It's a provincial issue. It's the provincial, if you put a sidewalk in, then you will have to, it will be a one-way street, and anybody who wants to go, you have to go around the loop. So if it's two-way traffic, it has to be, there can be no sidewalk,
unless
according to the
chop in on everything
provincial specifications. But
and
thank
I thought
you.
We said that many times.
Can I add one thing?
Yes.
Actually, we've been, our operating permit for that, the permit information, so the choices went forward to TIR, and TIR chose to make our operating permit for a two-way street. It was their decision, and they have permitted us to construct a two-way street.
That's fine, thank you.
Yes, if I may comment on that, Mayor Pike?
This is not a question of arguing the rights and wrongs of this. No, we have your petition. Thank you.
Okay. I'd like to submit to council a memo I received from Glenn Strang, area manager for TIR, who indicates that the region requested that there not be a sidewalk there. I'm not privy to that conversation.
No,
I was not at that meeting, so I wanted to bring it to your attention. You may be able to work through the situation. He indicates an application is possible that they would consider. Thank you.
Any other questions from council? Yes,
Your Worship, regarding the petition, I just would like to know the process now once that is presented, because
it's taken to, we take it back to staff. Staff analyzes it and gives a report to council at a future meeting.
Okay. It'll be forwarded to TIR.
We'll have a report back to council.
Thanks.
Thank you. That will include any conversations that we may have with TIR and so on.
Do the residents then have a chance to participate?
Well, we'll see what the information is, yes. I mean, there are significant consequences. Obviously, if there is a sidewalk, it becomes a one-way street, and we need to make sure that everybody is aware of that before any decisions are made.
And that's my intent of asking the questions, to make sure that everybody has the right information, that communication is clear on both sides.
Exactly. Yeah. We would do that. That's why it goes to staff for review and comment. Any other comments?
I actually have a petition from Andrew's Fish and Chips.
Okay.
So the food truck's down at Legion, the old Legion property. And he is petitioning the barricades that are have blocked the entranceway for the safety issues of going in and around quickly in through the, when there's other participants or other customers in and around the other food trucks. So that will be forwarded along to planning and bylaw as well.
Okay, is there anything else on the petitions? If not, we're in public questions. Comments? Any comments?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Leon Robertson, College Street, Liverpool. I have an item that's been in the press recently, one of the, I got a couple here. One is the Carter's Beach Road, the problems there with parking and blocking the road getting down and so on. I understand according to the press that the municipality is getting involved with DOT with widening that road going down there, which should help with respect to emergency vehicles, et cetera, being able to access there. But I think there's a larger problem there, and I read the article in the paper, local press yesterday, and with parking and so on, this may improve people getting in and out of there, but also there's really no place for them to park. Now down at the cul-de-sac here, I understand it will hold 12 or a dozen or so cars. I'm wondering, I understand that the province owns the land behind the beach there, provincial land, and I was just wondering, the land just beyond the cul-de-sac, that used to be a field when I was a kid growing up. It's grown up into woodland now, and I was wondering if you could urge or maybe work with the DOT or the province to clear that a bit and put some gravel in there and make parking for, say, an extra 25 or 30 or so vehicles. And I think that would solve a lot of the parking problem. In addition to that, there's also mentioned there of the there's no facilities as far as toilets, et cetera, is concerned, and perhaps maybe consideration could be given to a couple of porta potties being put there in the summertime for the use of the people there at the beach. It's quite obvious, Mr. Mayor, it's a popular beach, it's becoming more popular, and people are going to continue to go there anyway, and if we start slapping them with a lot of fines or towing their cars, it's not too good for our projection on tourism. So any thoughts on that or any suggestions there, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, the Deputy Mayor and I have been working with the CAO since last October. It's a huge, huge issue, and just the land ownerships are the TIR owns to the mouth of the parking lot. From there on, it belongs to DNR, Natural Resources. We met first of all in October with Andrew Young, when Andrew Younger was Minister of Environment, and discussed improved garbage receptacles. The response was it's to be a carry-in, carry-out situation. We talked about toilet issues, and the response was that if people need to go to the toilet, they can go. You may want to sit down because I'm going on for quite a while on this one. They may want to go to Port Matoon Wharf if they need to go to need to relieve themselves, despite the fact it was 3 kilometers away, and despite the fact there was only a toilet on Port Matoon Wharf during herring season, as I understand it. So in addition to that, we wanted more parking. We raised the issue, and we were told that they don't want it used as a beach. So we wrote and protested the meeting. In fact, I said in the letter it's the worst meeting that I've ever had with a cabinet minister. So Younger is out of office. We go back at it with Margaret Miller, who is now the Minister of the Environment, a total change, a complete willingness to work through the issues. And the fundamental issue is a balance between the recreational opportunities and the desire to protect the nature reserve, or the dunes, the rare plants, and the dunes itself themselves are unusual and are significant. So we've been working to find a balance between those two. We had meetings with, first of all, as I say, the Minister of the Environment and her staff, and then we had a joint meeting with the Minister of Natural Resources, Lloyd Hines, his staff, and also Margaret Miller and her staff again. As a consequence of that meeting, there was a subcommittee struck which has Richard McClelland, our CAO, sitting on it with Natural Resources and with the Ministry of the Environment. They are looking at toilet needs, a long-term parking solution, the boundary for the nature reserve, and garbage removal. The issue with the boundary for the nature reserve is if you take the high water mark as the boundary, then there's no recreational use on Carter's Beach. But if the boundary is set at the toe of the dunes, and there seems to be some acceptance of that, then it obviously allows access to the beach. We've met with TIR, and as a result of, and you referred to it, we have an agreement with TIR. TIR may not build parking lots under their mandate. So they're widening the street from, I think it's the last 40 meters down. On the upper side of that street, they're pushing it back to the edge of the street right of way. That will allow room for emergency vehicles to pass on the street, but it will also allow some parking on the edge. And that's why we are sharing in the cost of that, which is estimated to $15,000. We are really paying for the parking spots. They're paying for the widening of the street. Not spelled out in those words, but that's in effect what's happening. The garbage receptacle, there is one there. It's inadequate. We've asked that they put in more receptacles and that they are raccoon-proof. I'm not aware that they have put in any more, and if they haven't, obviously we're going to have to step up to the plate. And it's not our responsibility, but government doesn't seem prepared to accept the responsibilities that it has. So the garbage is being removed by Natural Resources three and sometimes four times a week, I think three times a week, and usually is okay unless there's a heavy weekend use, and in which case it obviously doesn't get picked up between Friday and Monday, and that's where the raccoon-proof containers are necessary. Richard has a meeting of his group on Friday at Carter's Beach to look at it, to come up with recommendations to the wider group with the ministers and deputy ministers and mayors and so on. So that's where we're at on it. Very, very unsatisfactory not to have some kind of toilet facility there. If we put one ourselves, and we may, if we put one up, it will be, we don't have any land to put it on. So we will be trespassing by putting it on somebody else's land. So that's why we need to get government blessing to do that. And I think the toilet facility is probably the most immediate problem. A bigger parking lot, and I know that field that you spoke of, because I can remember when it was open then too. It seems to a logical place to put a parking lot. That, I think, is an issue that will not be resolved for this year, but hopefully we can get it done and so on into the spring of next year before this all blows up again and starts again. I mean, there's no question but that Carter's Beach is a huge resource to Queens, not just as a recreational area, but it's an economic resource because you get all those people coming in and they stop at restaurants, they stop at takeouts and so on. So yes, we want to preserve that recreational use, and we also appreciate, as do the residents, the need to have a nature reserve to protect that land behind the beach. It's not a big piece of land, it's about 320 to 340 acres, one of the two. So that's all I know about it, and that's as much as I can tell you. We're continuing to work, and we're going to continue to beat on government on it.
It sounds like that you're working at it, and hopefully something over the next few months will come about, particularly with respect to the parking and also with the toilet issue. And to coin an old phrase, we know what bears do in the woods, so we know what people have to do if they can't. If there's no facilities there.
And they don't even go into the woods. They go back on the dunes, I'm told. I'm told that a recent memo, which I saw last night. Some people came down just to see Carter's Beach and to find out what all the hype was about the beach. They thought it was gorgeous until they stepped off into the dunes. And that there was a tremendous amount of toilet tissue in the dunes just behind the beach.
Well, if something could get worked out, like you see, you're working on it, and could get things in place for next year. This season is getting quite well along as far as the summer part of it is concerned. Kind of nice to see that there for next year. Getting away from that, the only other comment I wanted to make was with respect to another item that was in the local press yesterday. Apparently, here in Queens County, we don't have an unemployment problem, we have an employment problem. With two of our major employers who are not able to get enough staff, apparently, to function to their fullest. And one establishment indicated that they had to cut back some on their business sort of thing because they don't have enough staff to serve. And it's kind of unfortunate because when you look at the jobless rate for Nova Scotia, it's 8 or 9, between 8 and 9% sort of thing. And here, obviously, we don't have any unemployment.
I think the article is referring to the general manager from White Point Resort at the South Queens Chamber of Commerce meeting when she was told questioning the premier.
Also next door here was
said. We've had that. I was coming to that. One of the problems that we had, and I think as you attend all the council meetings are aware of it, they have not been able. Our feeling was at the time that they had not been as aggressive in their recruiting as White Point has been, and that they hadn't got the staff that they needed to fill that building. The consequence of that from the Region of Queens perspective was that we had to reduce, they've leased the whole building. So we cut back the amount of footage that they're leasing to a little under half. The cost of that was in excess of $300,000 a year, right? It's in that range. It might be 310, but it's a big cost to us to cut that back. That's an aside from the inability of some of the, the hospitality industry, and that's what I was gripping for. The hospitality industry is having trouble in recruiting staff. Because I hear it from the quarterdeck, I've heard it from White Point. Yes, it's an issue. I don't think the same issue exists, Leon, at Port Mersey, as I understand that R.J. McIsaac has been successful in its recruiting, and that's the only one I've really talked to recently about recruiting.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Dagley.
Thank you, Mayor Clark. David Dagley and I met upon Lane, Liverpool. I certainly do appreciate the efforts of the region to assist with the traffic control issues at Carter's Beach. It is a beautiful location. The residents have been very patient with the parking problem, and that's a great thing. I'm wondering, in view of the expenditure to assist transportation to upgrade the roadway, will there be a motion coming soon to council in that regard for that expenditure?
I don't think it's necessary, is it? It's at the discretion of the CAO?
Yeah, it's a small amount of money.
We're going to put it in next year's budget. So we'll have the discussion during our budget deliberations next year, and it will be included in the budget next year because they've allowed us to pay after the fiscal year ends.
Yeah, when we met TIR and we were dealing with the director for the Western Region, he understood the problem of putting money in and said, if you need to pay it next year, it's fine. They have been very good to work with. And I was negligent as I was reporting I left out the fact that two representatives from the residents have been working with us, Brian Fisher until he had his accident, Robert Ross, and they've been attending meetings with us at these various meetings with government and so on.
Appreciate that. The other question I have, would you be able to advise who in the region of Queens will be sitting on the committee, or who will decide from the nominations who will be on the Queens Place and Mira Center advisory committee?
On the Queens Place?
Yes.
Queen's Place, so the nomination just closed yesterday, so that will come to council in due course, likely by the end of the month, and the public would know.
Well, I understand we'll get the answer of who's selected, but I'm wondering who will be doing the selection. Will it be a committee? Will it be a staff?
The way it will work, Mr. Dagley, is that it will come before the nominating committee of council, as do all of these appointments.
Yep.
And that comprises the deputy mayor, myself, Councillor Inglis, and Councillor Frelick is the are the nominating committee, and Councillor Fisk of the nominating committee.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions from anybody on any issue? We have a light agenda, so if you've got any questions, don't hesitate to ask. Failing that, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the July 26th council meeting. Councilor McLeod, Deputy Mayor Norman seconding, all in favor, unanimous, and thank you. I now entertain a motion to go in camera. Councilor Norman, Deputy Mayor Norman, Councilor Fancy seconding, all in favor of being in camera, it's unanimous. Thank you. Okay, so the meeting.